there, everybody. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm your host, Ken Schneck. This is episode number 358. As always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us a line, send an email on over to ken@thisshowisogay.com, stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our little gay radio show that could. You can follow us on Twitter, the handle is thisshowisogay, and of course, go on over to that Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, like us, because we sure as heck like you. What a fun show we have for you this week. We must get started with our guest. Jeffrey Marsh is a social media sensation, a host, an author, a public speaker, a youth advocate, an all-around inspiration, and so much more. Jeffrey has more than a quarter billion views. I don't even understand how many that is, but over a quarter billion views across, it's a lot, across social media, with messages of positivity, togetherness, and inclusivity. As the creator of the global trends, hashtag don't say that's so gay, and hashtag no time to hate myself, Jeffrey has earned spots on top Viner lists by both BuzzFeed and, you know, Vine. In 2015, Jeffrey was named official red carpet correspondent for both MTV Logo and GLSEN. This summer, exciting news, Penguin Random House will publish Jeffrey's first book, How to Be You, Stop Trying to Be Someone Else and Start Living Your Life. But first, we get to chat. Jeffrey, welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
This show is so gay.
That we're allowed to say, right? We can do hashtag This Show Is So Gay.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, just check it. Now, I will tell you that in 358 episodes, no guest has been more of their own background accompaniment during the bio than you, Jeffrey Marsh.
I was too excited to keep my mouth shut.
I love it. I love it.
Supposed to sit there quietly and listen.
No.
And I couldn't
help myself. That's not radio. Well, we have so much ground to cover, my friend. Are you ready?
I'm very ready, Ken. It is my great honor to be on such a gay show. Thank you.
Well, we will hopefully live up to that for you. That's a lot of pressure in itself. Now, in researching your bio, I don't mean to boil it down to one particular locale, but it strikes me that for you, Jeffrey Marsh, it all started in a barn. Is that correct?
That is correct, and I do talk about that in the book. The barn is actually, sadly, no longer standing. You can go and visit the rubble of our family farm. If someday some people want to go visit, they can in Pennsylvania. I found freedom, the freedom to be myself, with the hay bales and the animals in the barn, dancing and twirling and dressing up. It became a safe space for me growing up on the farm because I knew that nobody else from the family would discover that I was in there.
I'm also seeing an affinity for Julie Andrews.
Yeah. How did you?
I know stuff. It's not my first episode. I know stuff. Tell everybody about your affinity for Julie Andrews. Talk about escapism.
Google, please. Julie is one of my personal heroes, and it's really because of her respect for her craft and her respect for herself.
Yeah.
She is an immensely talented person, but beyond that, she is very, very open about the dedication that it has taken for her to get to where she's got.
Yeah.
You know, there are other personalities who are, who are, you know, totally open and will do anything. And she's more, you know, she reminds me of Bea Arthur, actually, in that way. But there's a private side. There is a multiplicity to who she is. And I've always respected that.
Yeah. Which Julie Andrews role could Jeffrey Marsh step into right this very second if such an opening existed?
All of them.
Is there one that you gravitate towards? I'm not going to psychoanalyze you based on your choices, but I kind of will. Which is the one that you're like, this is the one I have most affinity towards?
I don't think it's going to be all that shocking. Victor Victoria.
Oh, do you know, I can't believe I'm saying this on the air. Jeffrey, I've never seen it.
Truly?
I've never, I know, this show is no longer so gay. I've never seen it.
I'm going to be revoking your gay license.
Ah, gosh darn it.
We're taking it back. No, it's a beautifully queer film. In a time, I think it came out 82.
Okay.
In a time when we were just discovering how, not discovering, I mean, so I was born in 77.
Me too. Nice.
Oh, I was born 7777.
That's like, that's a whole different level of special.
I think something with the stars, well, yeah, obviously I lead a charmed life, so.
Amazing. Amazing.
To get back to Julie, though, it was in 82, and so we had just found out about GRID, mm-hmm. right, gay-related immune deficiency, what would become known as AIDS, and it was really for me a dark time because I was finding out, oh, this is me, and this is what the news says is going to happen to me. And I remember watching that movie and feeling so free, so understood, so seen by especially her portrayal of someone who is navigating all those ways that people can express their gender and gender identity.
Yeah. All right. You and I are going to do a movie night.
Okay. Yeah.
Done.
I love it.
Done.
It's on iTunes right now.
I got it. All right. I'm going to check it out. Now, as opposed to other social media stars who just flair, you are not Chewbacca mom. Your exposure, as I've heard you tell it, it was much more gradual. Is that correct?
Well, yes. I mean, it's a story of both, right? I've had things that have gone viral, and so you see a big bump in your numbers when those things happen. And for the most part, if you look at the arc, it is moving steadily in one direction,
yeah.
which tells people that analyze these things and tells me that it's a lot of word of mouth. That's a lot of people sharing to their personal friends that, I don't want to be too self-aggrandizing. No, wait, I take that back. I don't mind it.
Go for it.
No, it tells me that people share some of my more poignant videos with their friends who are struggling, who are in need of someone to let them know that they're okay how they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that has been going on my whole journey through social media.
Now, I have to tell you, you're making me feel a little bit like a dinosaur, which is a little bit odd for me because I'm only 5 months your
age.
I know I am 5 months your elder, and yet I wouldn't know how to make a Vine video to start my day. So was there just always an affinity towards new media, towards getting your voice out there in a different way?
Yes, the message has always been there is nothing wrong with you.
Yeah.
You know, there was a time when I identified as a gay man, and I've sort of come to, actually through the internet, right, and knowing that there are these other sort of categories and labels and possibilities out there, have come to see myself, right now I'm using genderqueer, but I feel most comfortable in this liminal space where I don't like being labeled,
yeah.
right, but I'll use genderqueer if I must. And that has been such a wonderful, you asked about technology first, and that has been something wonderful that's happened through new technology, through the internet. You know, being on the cutting edge of those things, the technology, is also to me being on the cutting edge of connecting with others who are like you.
Right.
And so I've always wanted to do that.
Yeah.
And bring that message to anybody, you know, the there is nothing wrong with you message to anybody in the queer community and even beyond.
I would imagine, and I actually know this to be true, so it's a little bit of a fake question. You must get...
Wait, a softball question. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a softball question because I already know the answer, but I would love to hear some examples. You undoubtedly, without question, and I know this to be 100% fact, get just incredible responses from all over the world. The other thing about you, though, is it strikes me that you are genuinely appreciative for every response that you get. You really convey that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are many sides to the internet. So I've gotten everything from fear, like a very detailed death threats, all the way up to every single day, still to this day, I get messages saying I was going to kill myself. I decided not to because I saw your video. How can I ever thank you? Those sorts of messages. And it's become a matter of, I was about to say a realization, but it wasn't even that. It's just abundantly clear that those messages of thanks and connection and thanks for doing what you do because I'm like you, right, and I see myself in what you're doing, those messages make any hate at all pale in comparison.
Right.
It is so irrelevant what a hater, or is there like a more severe word for hater?
No, that's pretty much it. Yeah, these are,
okay.
Yeah.
It just makes the haters' comments mean nothing. They're totally worthless, which we knew they were already.
Right. Right. How do you wrap, I mean, we're a positive show, we're all about the positivity as well, but how do you wrap your mind around someone taking the time out of their day to send you something, anything less than positive? How do we wrap our minds around that?
Oh, gosh, it's a great question. And I think the book, and you can see what a great sales lady I am, but I keep weaving it into my answer.
Oh, please do.
The book came about because I would get honest questions from people online about how to live a happy life. I mean, the basic question is, you seem so positive all the time. You seem so happy. And I'm sure you get the same thing, right?
Yeah.
How can you're so positive and you do this positive show? How do you do that? Because some days are just terrible. And so we took all those questions and we called them together and found that there were certain themes. And by we, I mean my literary agent and I.
Yeah.
We put those questions together and we found that there were these themes. And chapter 5 in the book is about haters. I would get all kinds of questions about, you know, haters face-to-face. Like my principal at school doesn't believe that I exist and won't let me use, you know, the bathroom that corresponds with my identity. And also, like, you know, kids on the playground call me the F word.
Yeah.
Not the four-letter one.
Yeah.
The six-letter one.
We know that. You just did the counting. I love that.
I did. The second. 2 G's. And, you know, I got all those questions about how to deal with the hate. And the basic answer I come to is laying out for everybody that the haters' comments point to the hater. They are an indication of what is going on for the commenter, not for the subject. Does that make sense?
It does. So let me push you then to the next piece. Because we can do that all the time, right? Like we talk to our audiences, we communicate with others and say, this isn't about you, this is about the person who's spewing the hate. And yet, even as we say constantly, don't internalize it, don't take it personally, it's not about you, inevitably, even though it's such a simple message and I adore it, you know, the message of there's nothing wrong with you, it either doesn't occur to members of our community or it doesn't stick. How do we go about breaking down those barriers to people firmly holding in their hand, there is nothing wrong with you?
That is such a beautiful image.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's not about like making it stick for them. You know, it is about them holding it in their hands and exploring for themselves what they want to hold in their heart from there. Yeah, because I was about to launch. Be careful.
Go for it.
The bottom line for me is that everyone on the planet. Would you believe that I have never, ever encountered anyone in social, in person, in the publishing industry, in anything that I have done so far, never encountered a single person who wasn't taught that there is something wrong with them for one reason or another. You're too fat, you're too smart, you're too Jewish, you're, in my case, you're too queer.
Right.
And I don't mean to invalidate your point. I think the queer community has some extra special crispy self-hate that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
I think most queer people grew up feeling like there was no one on the planet that could understand them.
Yeah.
The way we combat that is by example, which is why I reached out to you and wanted to do your show, because I think you are leading by example.
Well, it always takes two. So just me alone, it's partnering up with people like you. Again, listeners, we are here with Jeffrey Marsh, social media sensation, host, author, which we're going to get to in a second, public speaker, youth advocate, and again, all around inspiration. The book, How to Be You, Stop Trying to Be Someone Else and Start Living Your Life. We've been weaving it all throughout the interview, and I love that because that's good. You're doing very well as a salesperson. That's an important piece of this whole puzzle because we do want people to be aware of it. When someone closes the book, they get their hands on it, they devour it, and they put it down, what do you want people ultimately to get out of encountering this text?
I need to backtrack for a second.
Please.
And because you very deftly went into station identification, which was wonderful. I loved it. You're so good at it. But I also want to come back and make sure you weren't evading my compliment.
I'm not good at that.
I know that, and I'm going to rake you over the coal for it. I could have done a number of things, but I have a publicist, I have a manager, and I could have told one of them, email Ken and see if whatever, we'll work out an interview or something. But I emailed you myself because I wanted to make a personal connection with you because I value what you're doing for the community. And now this is the part where you say, thank you, that's true.
Yes, thank you. It appears to be true. Thank you.
We'll get you all the way.
That was far for me. That was many steps. I would say that was 9 of 12 steps. So we're getting there.
Well, this is the perfect example of what you were talking about before. How do we get people to hold in their hands the concept that there is nothing wrong with them?
Right.
And intrinsically tied to that, for me, that concept of there is nothing wrong with you is the idea that you are perfect how you are, and there's nothing wrong with loving yourself and saying that out loud.
Yeah.
Our community is actually really great with, I think of the drag community and some ways of expressing yourself where, forget the haters and... But sometimes for queer people, we get so caught up in quote unquote forgetting the haters that we're forgetting the haters in reaction to the hate, which is never the goal.
Right.
We want to forget the haters because we love ourselves so much.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh my gosh, yes. My gosh, yes.
Articulating the difference, yeah.
And what from what I'm reading, the book has activities that people can work through in order to get closer to that, if not just flat out achieve it.
You're an excellent salesperson.
I can sell your stuff, yeah.
It is, I always wanted it to be tied to the people who are already in the Jeffrey Marsh community. Right. The followers online and the sort of movement that we're doing to love ourselves. And so, yes, it grew absolutely out of the themes that people were writing to me about. But I also wanted it to be a workbook because it is so important that we create the book together. I loathe this dynamic of, well, Jeffrey is some sort of advice giver up on, you know, behind the podium or up on a mountain or whatever image, and Jeffrey is going to tell you how to love yourself. No, that is boring and I think doesn't work. What we need to do is create the book together so people get to draw things, they get to color in things, they get to answer questions, they get to be an active part of the book, that hopefully, to get back to your question you asked me, I don't know, 3 hours ago, when they close the book, I want them to feel accomplished and like they have grown toward loving themselves because of the work they have done.
Yeah.
Maybe also because of the work I've done, but really because of the work they've done.
Well, you really have put in the work. I think that was actually an example of you doing slight bit of minimization there. I would imagine it felt amazing when you completed the book.
Yeah. Yes. And, you know, it's such a gradual process that it kind of, I had to stop and celebrate for myself because there's like iterations and, you know, it goes off to the copy editor who's going to put a period here and change the spelling of this. And after it went to the regular editor who was like, change this section, move this around. Don't you mean this when you're saying this? And it's just all these little gradual steps of back and forth with Penguin Random House. And I realized I got to the point, oh, I'm done with this.
Wow.
It's not going to come back to me until it's printed and it's a physical book in my hand. And then I really celebrated.
Yeah.
There's a dance.
There's going to be a party, right? There has to be some sort of launch party.
Yes, in New York and in Los Angeles.
Lovely.
So just watch my Twitter feed for that.
You got it.
But interestingly enough, I don't know how much people know about the publishing industry, but interestingly enough, people don't really do book tours anymore, which I was sad to learn.
Yeah.
Because they don't, you know, they don't make that much money anymore to send an author around the country.
I still think you should do it.
Just get in my, maybe I'll do it, yeah. Get in the van.
This is what the Megabus was made for. This is important.
Yeah,
this is important stuff. Well, one of the organizations that I mentioned in your bio that you have done so much work with and supported to the nth degree is GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network. What makes you gravitate towards GLSEN?
That is really, may I say, you are one of the best interviewers I've ever had the pleasure to talk to.
Well, thank you. May I say that you are the guest who has turned this around on me more than any other guest. So
exactly.
I'm happy that the radio can't see me blushing. So yes, how about that GLSEN?
Back on track. Yes, thank you. It was so important to me to directly support the young people who message me.
Mm-hmm.
And GLSEN is the organization that works directly with young people. It's GLSEN, Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network. And I'm, just as a sidebar, I'm so excited that they have the word straight in their moniker there. Because it is a group effort. They make schools safe for everyone. And they're, you know, they also help trans students and queer students, even though they named the organization 20 years ago. They are beautiful people, and I wanted to directly support them, and I decided to have $1 from every pre-sale go directly to them.
Nice.
Go directly for them to use to support students. And it's there's no funny math. involved with that. It is actually a dollar from every single pre-sale. It goes right into the budget for GLSEN for this year, for 2016.
Love it. Love it. You attended their Respect Awards, and can we talk about the ensemble for a second? Because that's a pretty stunning dress.
Yeah, we can talk about that. That dress was Madame Breton.
Who I love.
Who was on Housewives, like two weeks ago, Real Housewives of New York. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago,
yeah.
Something like that. And sort of designs in that vein. Right, so I felt like a real housewife of New York when I was on the red carpet, and I felt like somebody important. You know,
yeah.
I still pinch myself. I mean, basically, I'm that little person in the barn, right? You know, you mentioned that. What do I want people to get when they close the cover of the book? I want their 11-year-old self to be healed. If that's not too big a goal to have. So, yeah, my followers are mostly young people, but not totally. I get all kinds of messages from all ages of people, grandmas and dads and all kinds of people. And I want the young people inside us all to know that there's nothing wrong with them, to know they're not alone.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, you were asking me about my dress.
No, I love this. I will just say, I will tell you as I look on my laptop right this second at a picture of you in this dress, it is extraordinarily regal and, dare I say, slightly Julie Andrews-esque. I'm just putting that out there.
It has sort of a UK vibe to it.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I felt very proper, and I don't know, are you looking at my Instagram? Because check out the manicure, too, that you have to have everything to the nth.
I feel proper. Like you could be the queen of a fictional country and be telling Anne Hathaway, you are now our princess. Like, that's what this dress means to me.
yeah, and hopefully Hollywood and TV will move in that direction, and you'll be seeing me play those roles.
I would love it.
At some point.
I would love it. Which begs the question, Jeffrey Marsh, what next? Mm. Obviously, the book is coming out, but I don't think that you're going to stop putting these messages out there anytime soon via social media, correct?
No, not stopping.
Yeah.
I got advice once not to use the word empire, but I'm going to anyway.
Do it.
I want an empire of kindness.
Nice.
I want something that looks like, again, not too self-aggrandizing. I don't know why I have those caveats. I'm going to self-aggrandize. I'm going to do it. I want something akin to what Oprah has. So I want people to feel better in any possible way. So if that means having my own network, great. If that means having a magazine, great. If that means having a show, great. Whatever that is, you know, it's already the book. I have an app that reminds people how wonderful they are. I have, you know, all the social channels. I'm already building my mini empire. What do you think? Is empire too strong a word?
I don't think so. I might lean towards kingdom.
Oh, kingdom.
I'm not sure how I feel about the word king, but some sort of...
I was going to say, like a they-dom.
Yeah.
A queerdom.
A queerdom. Absolutely.
Whatever. And it is through that queer lens, but of course it is for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, Ellen is doing wonderful things for the queer community, and she has her own empire. And I want to hop in those little footsteps and just move forward and help people learn to love who they are.
Yeah. Let me just say that in your empire, I have it in my mind that anyone at any time could spin around and turn into some sort of version of Wonder Woman. I believe that that happens in your empire.
So I'm going to give you some gossip.
Do it.
I just did, I don't know if you saw on some of my social channels, I just did a photo shoot for BuzzFeed. and it hasn't come out yet. That's why it won't be out on Thursday, I don't think. But they're profiling several gender nonconforming people and making them up to be like their heroes or heroines. And I chose as my heroine, specifically, Linda Carter.
Yes.
As Wonder Woman. And that iconic figure, and especially Linda's interpretation of it, is such a source of strength for me. And that's partly who I was pretending to be in the barn those many years ago. Because she didn't have to sacrifice, and this is all my projection, I don't know, you might ask Linda and see what she has to say. But she didn't sacrifice any of herself to be a hero and save lives and save the world, actually.
Right.
So what I mean by that is, like, she was just glamorous as a person, and she liked to be pretty and feminine, and she didn't have to sacrifice any of that to be strong and bold and save the world with heart. So, of course, I was drawn to her and her interpretation.
I love it.
Who's your favorite comic book character? Do you have one?
You know, I'm so drawn to the X-Men. I always have been. And I actually,
yeah.
it's so funny that you say that, because as I told you off the air, I just was in New York City with my family last week, and my mother said, get these comic books out of the house, because she wanted more closet space. And so my Subaru was filled to the brim with probably 2,000 comic books that are now here in Cleveland. And unsurprisingly, a lot of them were X-Men, and it really was this narrative.
Wow.
Isn't it cool? I mean, they're right behind me where I'm sitting in my office right now. It was this whole narrative of, okay, so there are these individuals with uniqueness who are in some way shunned from society, but what really drew me to the X-Men was that each individual character had their own power. They had their own specific voice to express to the world. And through expressing that power, expressing that voice, they not only saved those around them, but they saved themselves. And so I've just always been such, I know, right? I went a little deep on that one, but I've always been such, it was a bit much. Normally I'm wearing Milan Breton when I go that deep, but I'm just not right now. But yeah, this idea of, and I do that all the time. I really am looking for, in my work with students, in all throughout my life with my guests on each show, that's why I do this show for 8 years now, I'm looking for everyone to express their unique power, because I really do believe everybody has it.
Well, to loop it back into our earlier conversation, whatever you were told you are too much of, so you're too queer, you're too, whatever that is, you're too gregarious, whatever you were told, you're too quiet, you read too much, right? Whatever you're told as a kid you're too much of, that is your X-Men style superpower in life.
Yeah.
I was told I was too queer, and here we are, I've grown up, and that is actually what I must offer to the world. That is my superpower.
And you're doing it.
So the X-Men metaphor is so vibrant. Such a good universe they've created.
Oh, incredible. Incredible. And more importantly, my mom now has more closet space. And that's really what's important at the end of the day. That's really what we were going for. Well, that's the end of the day. I want you to determine for our listening audience what they should hear in their own head at the beginning of the day. I think that barn metaphor, I know it's not a metaphor for you, that was an actual lived experience, but it's a really rich and vibrant metaphor for all of our listeners who are living in that quote unquote barn. If you could have that superpower of putting words in their head that they believe at the start of each day to address living in the barn or leaving the barn, how would you approach that? What words would you put in our listeners' heads?
What do you see as the metaphor there? That the barn is like the closet, or what?
I think it's that idea of that thread of escapism, which I think is mm-hmm. really important. I think it's that place where you can be your authentic self, but also it kind of lives in the same reality where it's a place separate from everything else going on, right? Like you can be your authentic self, but it's still the barn. It's that place where other people aren't. You tell me if I'm interpreting that wrong. That's what I take from it.
No, I lived it. I never really had an interpretation for it. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, when I was young, I escaped into the world of musicals too. Julie Andrews having a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
And the barn to me is both of those things. It's a place to escape, but it is also the powerful act of creating our own safe spaces. And you asked about waking up in the morning. You would be shocked, or perhaps not shocked at all, to learn that people message me about that too. The morning seems to be a very difficult, lonely, depressing, anxious time for a lot of people. And I'm not quite sure why that is, but you know, you wake up and your mind starts reeling with what's wrong and what you did yesterday that stunk and this, you know, what you got to face today and so on and so forth. And if I was going to give anybody a message to wake up to, it would be the classic, there is nothing wrong with you.
Yeah.
But also, you have every right to be here. That is the essence of being able to feel what you feel and not be attached to what those feelings are. Let them be as they are. Let them happen. Know they don't mean anything about you. And know that regardless of how you feel, you belong right here. There is a place for you in this, in your bed, in society, in the world, no matter who you are.
I love it. I love it. There it is, everybody. There it is. There it is.
Don't get me preaching on one of these.
I love it. Well, listeners, this is what you guys all need to do. Stroll on over to jeffreymarsh.com.
Oh, don't run. Don't rush. You know, don't hurt yourself.
No, you guys, if there's a minor sprain on the way to jeffreymarsh.com, it is well worth it because right there you can link to Vine, to Twitter, to Instagram, Tumblr, YouTube. You can book Jeffrey. That would be amazing. You can also, speaking of book, you can access How to Be You, which is in pre-sale now. An amazing thing that you're doing with a dollar of each pre-sale going to Glisten. This is going to be one of those game changers for people that will allow people that space to really explore what their voice is and again help them on that road of how they can be them and explore their authenticity. I have to say this about you, Jeffrey. For me, in looking at what it is that you do and hearing your voice through media and certainly through this interview, you are pure, authentic light. And it comes through, it doesn't just come through, it really shines through everything that you put out there into this world. Pure, authentic light. My hope is that you know that it's a gift. It has changed lives, and it's going to continue to do so.
Yes, absolutely. I own that. Also, Ben, what do you teach, by the way? I don't think I've ever heard you mention it on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm a professor. I really have a day job.
but what subject? I don't think we...
Have
you talked about it? I can't remember.
I don't even know. Maybe a little. I largely teach courses that talk about race. So how do we talk about race in society? How do we get all voices at the table? My chosen field is education. So I teach a lot about leadership and higher education. But almost all of my courses in some way are focused on race and social justice. So it really is about how do we amplify each and every voice so that each and every voice can be heard.
Mm. So we're doing similar work.
Oh, absolutely.
I know you're desperately trying to wrap up, but one more thing. What can I say? I'm having too much fun. The reason I asked is because I was thinking maybe it was psychology or world religions or something, but we didn't even talk about me being Buddhist. But the Buddha and Freud, they both talked about projection.
Yeah.
You cannot see the light in me unless you have your own experience of having light in you. And I know that sounds like woo, California kind of Pollyanna-ish stuff, but it's actually technically true. You wouldn't know that I'm a being of light unless you were one. So enjoy that.
Oh, I'm taking that with me. Listeners, again, jeffreymarsh.com. Without question, Jeffrey, please, please keep doing what you're doing.
Of course, and I don't know how often you do it, but I want part two, you know? Let's
oh.
Get together again and do this again.
I want to remind our listeners, this is part one of seven.
Seven, did you say?
Hey, 7777, we're doing seven. It might take us a few years, but we'll get to it. Jeffrey, okay. Thank you so much.
You are beautiful. Thank you.
High on a hill was a lonely goatherd, lay, od lay, od lay, o. Loud was the voice of the lonely goatherd, lay, od lay, od lo. Folks in a town that was quite remote heard, lay, od lay, od lay, o. Lusty and clear from the goatherd's throat heard, lay, od lay, od lo.
All right, folks, and we are back. Well, we have tons of time left on this week's episode to talk all about the latest LGBTQ news out there. But first, a few fun announcements. Voting is still going on for the Podcast Awards. And if you stroll on over to podcastawards.com, you can vote for This Show Is So Gay in the GLBT category. At the very least, stroll on over to podcastawards.com and check out the other 9 nominees in the GLBT category. There are some incredible folks doing some incredible work with their voices. So very exciting news there, podcastawards.com. And another project that I am involved with, if you stroll on over to ourchangestories.org, it's a new website that I am working on with a friend where we are collecting people's stories about wrestling with that tricky beast called change. And so we're collecting all different stories from people who have wrestled with change, who have looked at change, who have tried to change. The question is, have you ever changed your mind about something meaningful? Did you change your political views, religions, or careers? Did you form a relationship with someone you never thought you would? How did it happen? We want to know. So my friend David and I are inviting you to share your story about any personal change experience that's meaningful to you. So our changestories.org, and it's going to be a really cool compendium of stories about change, ourchangestories.org. But that's enough with those announcements. Let's get to the news out there, and we start with Norway, of all places. Norway is now joining the European nations allowing self-determination of gender. Following the lead of Denmark, Malta, and Ireland, Norway will no longer require anyone age 16 and older to be sterilized just to have their gender legally recognized. So there is a whole process now where trans children from 6 to 15 can apply with parental permission to change their gender legally. Nice job, Norway. Very exciting news from abroad. In very, very nutty marketing news, a new campaign aimed at opposing a California gun control measure is targeting LGBT voters and women in the state. Running under the slogan, "Take away our rights, take away our life," advertisements show a woman walking to her car in a darkened parking garage. As she gets her keys out of her purse, a shadowy figure sneaks up from behind her to rob her. As the two struggle, the woman grabs a gun from her bag and attempts to shoot her assailant. The problem is that the gun isn't loaded. Following the current 35-second TV spot, an identical version will air this week, with the only difference being that in the second incarnation, it will feature a transgender person. The campaign is being sponsored by the Coalition for Civil Liberties, a group affiliated with the National Rifle Association, and Richard Grinnell, a log cabin Republican who used to serve as the foreign affairs spokesperson for Mitt Romney during his 2012 presidential bid. This guy, he was famously forced to step down from the position following controversial comments he made. Do you remember this? He made them on Twitter about former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's appearance and First Lady Michelle Obama's use of slang. He said horrible things. But he spoke with Time magazine about gun control in California, which he believes tramples on personal freedoms. So what they have done is created these ads that specifically target women and LGBT people. The NRA not necessarily known for its support of LGBT rights, but when it comes to, you know, passing legislation that they want to pass, or in this case, blocking legislation, they have absolutely no problem marketing to our community. So there you go. Pandering all around. Hey, let's stroll on up very briefly to Canada. For the first time in Canadian history, a rainbow flag celebrating pride was raised at Parliament Hill. And this Justin Trudeau, who we all love, he is the first prime minister to do it. If you have not seen the video of this, you can see it over on advocate.com. It's under the headline, "That's a First, Justin Trudeau Raised a Pride Flag Over Parliament." This actually is a big deal. Flying a rainbow flag for the first time, it's a piece of fabric, right? It's not legislation. It's not getting rid of conversion therapy, which we still need to work on because, you know, it's only barred in 5 states out of the 50. But if you are in Canada or anywhere in the world, you are seeing your government validate your sexual orientation, your gender identity, your gender expression in a way that has never been done before. Yes, it's just a piece of fabric, but that piece of fabric flying over Parliament Hill in Canada, it's a very, very big deal. So kudos to everyone in the Canadian government who had a part in that. Back to the United States, let's look to Mississippi. Christians will risk crucifixion in order to defend their right to discriminate against LGBT people. Okay, so that's pretty much a quote. In fact, it is a quote. Now you're thinking, all right, who would say Christians will risk crucifixion in order to defend their right to discriminate against LGBT people? Could it be a pastor? Well, I'm sure it could be. It's not in this case. Could it be, I don't know, someone very much on the right wing who is on the fringes with some of those organizations that we don't support but we try not to name on here? It could be. It's not. In this case, the individual who said Christians will risk crucifixion in order to defend their right to discriminate against LGBT people, that would be Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant. Bryant made the statement while speaking last week at the Watchmen on the Wall conference, an event hosted by the hate group Family Research Council. This is the governor of Mississippi speaking at the Watchmen on the Wall conference. This is what he has time to do at that conference. Sponsored by the hate group Family Research Council, Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant, he was presented with the Samuel Adams Religious Freedom Award. He got an award. And what did he get the award for? He got the award for signing anti-LGBT House Bill 1523 into law this past April. He got an award for that. HB 1523 is formally known as the Protecting Freedom of Conscience from Government Discrimination Act. It allows businesses, individuals, and religiously affiliated organizations to deny service to LGBT people and others who somehow offend an individual's sincerely held religious belief. It also directly targets transgender residents, effectively claiming that one's sex assigned at birth is immutable and will be the only gender recognized by the state. So, not only can you be involved with alienating a huge portion of your population, with taking away their rights, with codifying discrimination, but yay, you get an award for it. You can get the Samuel Adams Religious Freedom Award. Now, some governors would say, okay, look, I'm doing the will of the people. But I won't accept an award for that. No, no, no. Not Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant. He actually went to the conference and he got the award. He accepted it happily. During his acceptance speech, the governor told audience members that, quote, all of the secular progressive world has decided that they were going to pour their anger out on him because he signed the bill into law. He went on to say that critics underestimated the willingness of Christians like him to stand up for their beliefs even if they face crucifixion. He went on to say this, quote, they don't know that Christians have been persecuted throughout the ages. They don't know that if it takes crucifixion, we will stand in line before abandoning our faith and our belief in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if we are going to stand, now is the time and this is the place. Congratulations to Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant, who was the recipient of the Samuel Adams Religious Freedom Award by the Family Research Council. Well done, sir. I say that sarcastically, just to be clear. How about the true savior in some of our eyes? I'm just saying Dolly Parton, she's amazing. Although Dolly Parton, unlike some other performers, didn't cancel her North Carolina show over the state's anti-LGBT House Bill 2, the longtime LGBT ally is still on the side of her LGBTQ fans. She just said this at the end of last week, quote, I think everybody should be treated with respect. I don't judge people. I try not to get too caught up in the controversy of things. I hope that everybody gets a chance to be who and what they are. I just know if I have to pee, I'm going to pee. I don't care where it's going to be. That's from Dolly Parton. I love Dolly Parton. One of my favorite Dolly Parton songs of all time is Travelin' Through. It was nominated for an Oscar for Best Original Song, and it was the song that was written and performed for the movie Transamerica. I love the movie Transamerica. Now, I did not see the movie Walk the Line, for which Reese Witherspoon won the Oscar, but in my opinion, no performance could have been better than Felicity Huffman in 2005 in the movie Transamerica. That's just some pop culture for you. I love that movie. I love Felicity Huffman. There you go. More celebrity news. A Texas teen needs saving from religious zealots who are forcing her to pray the gay away at a Christian boarding facility where she is being held against her will. This is being claimed by her TV star cousin, Jeremy Jordan, who plays technology whiz Win Schott on Supergirl on CBS. He started a GoFundMe page to cover legal expenses needed to free his cousin, Sarah, from the unnamed residential boarding facility. You can go on over to GoFundMe.com, and if you just type in Save Sarah, he's trying to raise $100,000, and he's already at $53,000. And he's raised that in only 4 days, which is unbelievably impressive. According to the fundraising page that has, again, collected nearly half of his $100,000 goal, Sarah's strict Christian parents placed her in the facility for troubled teens for her, quote, disease after she took her girlfriend to the prom as a date. He said this, quote, meet my cousin Sarah. At 17, her future looks bright. She's in the top 10% of her class, runs cross country, and belongs to the National Honor Society and the debate team. She is also gay. Like any high school kids in a relationship, Sarah and her girlfriend wanted to go to prom together. Jordan explains that because Sarah is not yet 18, she is required by law to stay in the boarding facility until she is recognized as an adult. In the meantime, she is stuck there for a year and is not permitted to make phone calls or write emails. And this is all, again, according to the crowdfunding page profile. It went on to say this, quote, she is also not allowed visitors and cannot leave the property. She is completely cut off from the outside world. She tried to run away, but was caught by the staff and returned to the facility. So again, if you go on over to GoFundMe.com and you type in Save Sarah, you can find more information about this. Kudos to Jeremy Jordan. He's on Supergirl. He starred in Newsies, loved him in Newsies. He's got a YouTube video where he sings Celine Dion's It's All Coming Back to Me Now with millions and millions of views. I will say that about 300,000 of those are mine. It's very enjoyable. Very enjoyable. A little bit more news for you coming at you again from abroad. in Africa. In the macho world of sports, it's not easy to be openly gay. We all know that. And insults can make it difficult to come out in the locker room. But one fledgling rugby team, this is being covered by CNN, one fledgling rugby team is using such stereotypes to not only create awareness of homophobia, but to promote itself as a safe haven for those who don't feel comfortable with the game's culture. Formed this year, Johannesburg-based Josie Cats is Africa's first gay rugby team. Its provocative marketing campaign has had a greater impact than its members ever dreamed possible. Chris Verreit, who devised the campaign, said this quote, "The feedback has been phenomenal. I can't believe how quickly it's gone global. Our behind-the-scenes video has been seen in 126 countries. The support has been incredible." This is a Africa-based, Johannesburg-based Josie Cats, Africa's first gay rugby team. See? Exciting ways to use your voice to make a difference. For these individuals, it was all about playing rugby. What's your way? What's your way of using your voice to make a difference? I'm kind of obsessed with the X-Men metaphor that we just talked about with Jeffrey Marsh. I really do believe that we all have our superpower. You know what it is. As Jeffrey said, it could be that thing that people make fun of you for. That could be your superpower. It's that thing that you do that makes you unique that you get to embrace. The problem is not everybody is using their voice. You have to do it. It not only makes a difference, but it is life-saving for you. And I have these issues myself. I sometimes think, I gotta be doing more. I have to be doing something different. And that's where, and this week's episode was a huge reminder of that for me, and I'm so appreciative. This is what I do. I do this radio show. We do hundreds and hundreds of episodes of it. I've been doing it for 8 years. This is what I do. This is what I'm good at. And I get to feature other people's voices, but it's also saving for me. It also validates what I'm about. It also feeds my soul. What's your way of doing it? Whether you're writing a letter to the editor, maybe you have the power of the pen. Maybe you're organizing a movie night, an LGBTQ movie night in your community with a talk back. Don't just screen the movie. Allow people the chance to interact and to talk. It's a very good thing. Although movies are also a great thing as well. People show up for movies that don't show up for other things out and about because there's less socialization, and that's great for some people. They're seeking community, but they might not be at that point where they're ready to socialize. Whatever it is that you do, you gotta use your voice to do it. Get on out there, folks, and do it. Our huge, enormous, enormous thanks to Jeffrey Marsh, the incandescent Jeffrey Marsh. Go check out all the incredible things that he's doing, jeffreymarsh.com. You guys get out there. Go use your voice the way you know how to use it to make a difference for your LGBTQ brothers and sisters. And while you're out there using your voice, while you're out there making a difference, please remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
On the bridge of a castle moat heard lay, or lay, or lay.
Men on a road with a load to tote heard lay, or lay, or
men in the midst of a toppled dote heard lay, or lay, or lay.
Men drinking beer with a foam afloat heard lay, or lay, or in a pale pink coat, heard lay, or lay, or lay.
She yodeled back to the lonely goat, heard lay, or lay, or
soon her mama, with a gleaming glow.